Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to No Spoiler Reviews, the podcast for movie reviews with the surprises left in. If you ever felt like you've already seen the film by just reading a review or had the story spoiled by its trailers, well then this is the podcast for you. In this episode you'll find all the latest movie news and no spoiler reviews, including Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, Sir Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman in The Father, Frank Serpico, which is the real-life documentary which inspired the Al Pacino movie, and also the zombie horror flick Wild Zero, which is finally out on Blu-ray. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then let's kick off with Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, which is now available on Netflix. After a covert military convoy out of Area 51 gets hit by two drunken newlyweds, it seems as though their payload is still intact. But it isn't. A zombie-like warrior emerges who, after killing all the soldiers around him, quickly sets his sights on the residents of nearby Las Vegas. In the ensuing carnage, no one is spared. That said, a plucky band of survivalists each make it out with their own story to tell. However, having already survived the walled-up dangers of Las Vegas once, they are approached by casino owner Bly Tanaka with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Break back into Las Vegas and recover millions of dollars from a casino vault before the government incinerates the entire area. Well, would you do it? Fortunately, Zack Snyder, he of Justice League Snyder Cut fame, has. Or rather, he's made a loud knockabout zombie movie called Army of the Dead. In what amounts to a bloody cocktail of Ocean's 11 meets Escape from New York with zombies, Army of the Dead isn't really a movie for subtlety. Guardians of the Galaxy's Dave Bautista is the de facto leader, and after handpicking his squad of badasses and bad girls, he's ready to go in. However, there are many catches that will come at him as his group ventures inside the Las Vegas Strip. What isn't in doubt, though, is Zack Snyder's flair for comic book actioners. And now freed of the angsty, I must do right seriousness of his DC movies, this one feels much more like light-hearted fare. There's lots of blurry, right-up-close cinematography for the gory moments, and the dialogue is just about serviceable whilst never really straying off its intended target. Tig Navarro, a late digitally comped in replacement for somebody who's clearly fallen from grace, is the group's chopper pilot. In what amounts to a hybrid of Murdoch from the A-Team and Colette Hiller's Corporal Pharaoh from James Cameron's Aliens, her performance is definitely in the pipe and 5x5. Nora Anazedna also impresses as Lily, a jaded mercenary who knows her way around the infected streets of Las Vegas, while sadly Fear the Walking Dead's Garrett Dillahunt struggles to convince as their tag-along babysitter. As for everyone else, well, they're pretty much zombie chowder. Who will survive? Who will see the money? Well, in no particular shock to nobody, you probably won't care. In a movie where the zombies get a better backstory than the heroes, the emphasis on the group's violent methods of dispatch clearly got a bigger investment at the scripting stage. So in the end, and somewhat not unsurprisingly, the movie rests on the sizable shoulders of Dave Bautista. With his increasingly varied resume of movie roles, it has to be said he's so much better than the material here, often carving out much more nuanced performances. Unfortunately, Bautista isn't particularly well served by Army of the Dead. The dialogue often feels like lead on his lips, and that's no fault of the big man, as anyone who saw Blade Runner 2049 can testify to. What you will remember Army of the Dead for are the zombies. As agile as those in World War Z, Zack Snyder's movie still manages to expand the zombie movie lore with an interesting tribalistic dynamic. So, as a result, in what amounts to a multicolour splatterfest with big guns and even bigger slow-motion set pieces, there's still plenty to enjoy in this Friday night Welcome to the Weekend movie. However, the movie and the soundtrack's best cut belongs to 1980s popsters Culture Club, with their hit, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? Zack Snyder clearly does, and you might well too as he goes about his business. See Army of the Dead now as part of Netflix's subscription package. So, leaving the zombie hordes of Las Vegas behind us, let's now check out the talented pairing of Sir Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman in director Florian Zeller's adaptation of his stage play, The Father. Anthony, as played by Sir Anthony Hopkins, is an aging father being cared for by his daughter Anne and excellent Olivia Colman. She clearly wants the best for him. However, he just wants her to leave him alone. Rebuffing every caretaker or live-in help that she introduces him to, it's becoming more and more difficult for Anne to know what to do next. And now the clock is definitely ticking. In announcing to her father that she will soon be moving to France, can Anthony have his life the way he wants? Or can he even remember what it looked like in the first place? Opening with Ludovico Einaudi's mournful, gnawing harpsichord, director Florian Zeller's adaptation of his 2012 play Le Père, the father instantly hints at tough choices ahead. Patiently dancing around her father's moods, Anthony Hopkins takes early swings at Olivia Colman's Anne with exclamations like, "So, you're abandoning me?" No, she isn't, because neither the film nor its subjects of dementia are that easy. And similar to director Thomas Vinterberg's Another Round, when the father's revelations come at you, they do so unevenly and without warning. Again, similar to Mads Mikkelsen's standout scene in Another Round's first 15 minutes, Anthony Hopkins will certainly have you tearing up in the father's first 20. So now, having now painted in all the basics of Anthony's world, writer-director Florian Zeller then starts systematically stripping away the facts that we thought we could take for granted. Characters change names, locations shift between rooms, and belongings like Anthony's watch become more of a disputed touchstone than a timepiece. By increasingly putting you in the shoes of a man losing his sense of direction, the overall effect is pronounced and subtle. Slowly building in intensity and frequency, Florian Zeller and Christopher Hampton's script will have you grasping for facts without ever dipping into sentimentality. For sure, there are tragic scenes ahead as Anthony Hopkins' namesake becomes a man who rages against the dying of the light. And in this respect, Hopkins' performance is a deservedly Oscar-worthy one, and right up there with his turns in Remains of the Day. However, he's not alone here, because in The Father, it's a crowded view of talent. Olivia Colman's Anne is a jagged edge skittering down the patient face of her own concern. Soaking up blow after blow, rant after rant, her struggle to be considerate is actually the main subplot of the film. Unconstrained by such niceties, though, is Mark Gatiss as Anne's supposedly former husband and appointed Rufus Sewell, both who get to ask the questions that nobody else dares to. Additionally, what saves The Father from feeling like a confined radio play is Ben Smithard's cinematography. Exquisitely sharp in a world turned blurry, we actually get to see Anthony's sense of detail fall into the shadows. Twin this with Ludovico Einaudi's aforementioned score, and we have a disarming drama that is wholly free of sentimentality. So having thrown away these most obvious of emotional levers, Florian Zeller brings on Olivia Williams and Anthony Hopkins for a final scene that is almost as unbearable as it is tender. Your throat will harden and the rims of your eyes will glisten, but this scene, much like the preceding 97 minutes, is a course that you really must stay on. The Father is not only a movie with great acting, but also one with genuine heart. Rent or buy The Father now on Amazon Prime, Vudu, or Fandango Now. So let's jump into our flyby reviews for some super quick reviews of other movies that are also available for rental now. First up is The Quarry, which is a much overlooked thriller where Shea Whigham plays a murderous drifter who arrives in a small sleepy town posing as the new preacher. However, any town that has Michael Shannon as the police chief is never going to be an oasis of comfort and redemption. Suspicions lead to lies, which lead to a body in the quarry, and everything corkscrews down tightly in a satisfying movie that deserves so much more than the breath of publicity that it received. Also similarly lost in time is the absorbing drama based on the real-life car ride between Colm Meaney's Martin McGuinness and Timothy Spall's the Reverend Ian Paisley in The Journey. Set during the faltering Irish peace talks, both men have to share a car for a flight back to Ireland. Barely able to share a sentence, let alone a prolonged gaze, this isn't Playing Trains and Automobiles or Driving Dr. Paisley, but instead an engrossing brace of performances where both actors spark off each other beautifully. Meaney is spot-on casting for McGuinness, and Timothy Spall's accents and mannerisms as Ian Paisley are beyond amazing. So there you go. Sometimes you don't need big bangs and a VFX budget to entertain, and I hope you enjoyed these two reviews all done for you in double-quick time. Okay, so now it's time to check out one of your requested movies in our much-subscribed Request Stop feature. Now, if you're a first-time listener to the show, let me explain what this is. A Request Stop is where you, the listener, can write into us here at No Spoiler Reviews and ask us to do an in-depth, no-spoiler review on a film that you'd like to see or maybe one where you'd just like to hear our take on it. For this episode, we're going to be looking at the real-life documentary of Frank Serpico. Forever synonymous with Al Pacino's electric depiction of him in Sidney Lumet's Serpico, Antonino D'Ambrosio's documentary goes beyond the 1973 movie to deliver a full portrait of Frank Serpico, the complex human being. And many thanks to Martin McCall from Aberdeenshire for requesting this one. So let's get into it now and see if Frank Serpico the documentary is as arresting as Serpico the movie. Imagine you're a police officer working the streets of 1960s New York. Imagine you apprehend somebody and you're immediately offered a bribe. Would you take it? Assuming you don't, would you then still refuse it when your partner takes it? Would you still refuse it when it turns out that every other policeman does? And now that they're all leaning on you for not taking the money, would you still refuse it then? Of course you wouldn't, because this is the movies. You're the good guy, but in the real world of 1960s New York, and for Frank Serpico, the risks of refusal are terrifyingly real. Now, this isn't the Sidney Lumet film with Al Pacino. That came after. This is the real-life documentary about Frank Serpico, which takes us back through his life and what's happened since. And as is often the case, the truth is far stranger than fictionalized fact. To understand who Frank Serpico is, director Antonino D'Ambrosio takes us back to Serpico's upbringing and his life before the NYPD. Trained as a social worker, Frank always thought that being a cop was meant to keep kids out of jail rather than putting them in one. However, the policing of New York in the 1960s and 1970s turns out to be just a succession of hustles and shakedowns, where it's expected that every new police officer would respect the contract and selectively turn a blind eye. But Frank was never built like that. Sticking true to his father's words of never run when you're right, Frank was never going to be the go-along-to-get-along guy that everybody wanted him to be. Later pushed into the plainclothes narcotic division, this was a promotion that resembled a bona fide death sentence. Hoping that the streets would do the crooked police chief's bidding, they almost get their way when Frank is shot point-blank in the face during an arrest. However, saved by a member of the public, Frank amazingly recovers and agrees to talk to the New York Times about the bribes that he's been witnessing on an almost daily basis. As the story breaks and it becomes a public investigation, Frank worries less about the death threats he's getting than the ones he doesn't. However, Antonino D'Ambrosio's documentary Frank Serpico doesn't stop there or on the iconic movie about Frank that followed. Instead, we see a man who is trapped by a truth that doesn't recognize city boundaries or even national borders. Full of touching reunions, Frank Serpico finishes in the modern day with a chilling sign-off that really elevates his documentary into being an essential companion piece to Al Pacino's turn in Serpico. Quite often, you might find yourself in life asking yourself what one person can do. And then somebody like Frank Serpico comes along and shows you. And for that, it's worth every one of his 98 minutes. Rent or buy Frank Serpico on Vudu, Apple TV Plus, or Amazon Prime. Now, continuing this month's unofficial zombie theme, as kicked off by Army of the Dead, is the new Blu-ray reissue of director Tetsuro Taguchi's Wild Zero. In it, we follow Masashi Endo as Ace, a diehard fan of the Japanese rock group Guitar Wolf. Aping their 1950s rockabilly tastes for black leather and greaseback hairdos, Ace determined to make a splash at their next gig. However, barging into a Mexican standoff between Guitar Wolf and Captain, who is a deviant club owner as played by Makoto Ima, all hell breaks loose and Guitar Wolf shoots Captain's fingers off. As the band leaves the scene, Captain swears vengeance on Guitar Wolf, and yet this might just be complicated by a strange meteorite that has landed nearby. Let's see. Sporting a very tasty 100% Rotten Tomatoes score, Wild Zero is a deliberately bonkers ride into cultural homage. Ace and the band Guitar Wolf all take their styling cues from the 1950s and the loud, twanging rockers Link, Ray and the Raymen. However, Captain and his bad guys are all drawn from the well-thumbed pages of small-town Yakuzas, and the zombies, yes, there be zombies in the distance, have all clearly stumbled out of George A. Romero's original makeup truck. So, if there is a clear red line pulling you through all this beer quaffing and slick-back hair quiffing, it's the music. Loud and frequently discordant, Guitar Wolf's tracks underscore just about every scene change, impact hit, or groan that happens. That said, if you're already supporting a headache or anything less than an ultra-clear-headed demeanour, this can start to grate and make you long for the next dialogue scene. However, putting their voluble frequency to one side, the one thing that Wild Zero does do is present rock and roll as a code to live by. The chief advocate in this regard is the bordering on messianic leader of the band Guitar Wolf. Supported by Bass Wolf on bass, Drum Wolf on drums, it is actually Guitar Wolf who has the most hold over Ace's development. This is best exemplified by his chastisement of Ace's reaction to Tobio, who he rescues from a petrol station of zombies, only to be later shocked by her gender orientation. So, in what are quite broad and yet crude strokes for a film made in 1999, this subplot actually gives Wild Zero its most absorbing storyline. Quancharo Tsuchiya delivers a fantastically understated performance as Tobio, and if nothing else, she pulls the movie back from a loud abyss with her soulful hurt. So, whilst Wild Zero trucks up and down grainy highways that often feel reminiscent of the first Mad Max movie, the appeal here isn't in the narrative. If anything, it's down to the girls getting progressively smarter and more well-rounded, and their mostly male counterparts ending up splattered on the sidewalk. In addition to this, either appearing as a vision or answering the call of an ultrasonic whistle that Guitar Wolf have gifted Ace, the band Guitar Wolf are always on hand to instill their rock and roll credo. Love has no boundaries, no nationalities or genders. Believe in rock and roll. Because as loud as this midnight movie mashup might be, Wild Zero's themes are surprisingly direct and solid words to live by. So saddle up this Blu-ray and neck your next beer, because Tetsuro Takeuchi's World Zero isn't taking any prisoners, especially if you happen to be a zombie. Okay, and I think that about wraps it up for this episode. To recap, we reviewed Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, Sir Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman in The Father, the real-life documentary Frank Serpico, and the zombie horror flick World Zero, now out on Blu-ray. So if you like what you heard and you fancy having some more no-spoiler reviews delivered to your favourite listening device, then please consider subscribing. Please tell your friends, your family, and anyone else you know who loves movies. Please hit the bell, smash the like, and share the podcasts. It really does make a difference, and we do appreciate your support. That said, if there's a recent movie that you've missed or haven't heard us cover, then why not download some of our previous podcasts or drop us a line at info@nospoilerreviews.com so we can include it in an upcoming episode. Until then, please keep safe, take all reasonable precautions, and I wish you all the very best for a spoiler-free time. Look forward to seeing you on July the 14th for your next movie roundup. All the best. Bye.